This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are discussing Zurofsky v. Texas, a new documentary that follows Texas women who had medical complications during their pregnancies. The treatment these women needed was an abortion, but under Texas's extreme abortion ban, they faced life-threatening health complications or were forced to carry and give birth to babies that would never survive. 22 plaintiffs, including 20 women denied abortion care and two OBGYNs, sued the state of Texas in 2023 to push the state to clarify the medical emergency exception in its abortion ban. On May 31st, the Texas Supreme Court issued a ruling refusing to clarify the exceptions to the state's bans. Macy Crow is director of Zurofsky versus Texas and a documentary filmmaker and photojournalist based in Texas. She's made several award-winning documentaries and shorts, including Jackson, which looks at the rights to access reproductive health care in Mississippi. She's also co-founder of the independent production company Out of Nowhere. You can watch the premiere of Zurofsky v. Texas at this year's Mill Valley Film Festival. It has showings on Tuesday, October 8th and Thursday, October 10th. Find more information at mvff.com. Hi, Macy. Thank you so much for making this important documentary, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I took a deep breath there when I talked about Jackson, the film you made about the right to access reproductive health care in Mississippi. Because I remember visiting that clinic many, many years ago. It was the only clinic in Mississippi, and now it's gone. And I just, reading that line, Macy, it just makes me think of what is happening to the women and girls of Mississippi that we hardly hear about. There's no clinic there. There's no clinic in Texas. I mean, it's still shocking to think about this.
Absolutely. I think what was incredible for me, the day that Roe was overturned, I was in Mississippi. I actually was working on a piece with This American Life, and we were embedded in the clinic and watched in real time what happened. And you saw the fear on women's faces as they came into the clinic, and you began to understand very quickly what was going to happen. And it was devastating to watch. And I think something important to highlight also is at that point, Mississippi had been seeing a large number of patients from Texas because Texas had passed SB 8 before the fall of Roe. And many patients who did not find out they were pregnant until after 6 weeks that needed abortion care were having to travel to Mississippi to get that care.
And this is happening in every state with abortion bans. We've read harrowing stories about women who called the clinic or showed up and had no idea about the ban. And then at that point, they have to hope that they have either money to travel to another state or that they have access to abortion pills.
Absolutely. And I think something that a lot of people forget that traveling to another state isn't just the money to get there, but it's the money to hire childcare if you have other children. It's the money to be able to miss work. It's the money to stay overnight. In a lot of states, there's a mandatory waiting period following your first appointment. So it's an incredibly expensive healthcare procedure that should be able to be done in one's home state. And that's something that you see in this film too, where Samantha Cassiano is unable to leave the state and is forced to carry to term a pregnancy that her doctors and Samantha herself knew was not going to be viable. Mm.
Before we talk more about Samantha's story and the other brave women who shared their stories for you and your team, can you tell us more about Zurofsky v. Texas? How did you all come to make this powerful documentary?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I was embedded in Mississippi when the fall of Roe happened and had been speaking with my colleague, Abby Perot, who co-directed this film with me, about needing to make a post-Roe film. The same time we had been speaking with our production partners at Storyforce and Hidden Light, and we were all looking to make the same kind of project and knew that we needed to partner up to make this happen. When I made Jackson, I had been in close contact with the Center for Reproductive Rights, as they also represented clinic in Mississippi. And we stayed in touch, and I very quickly learned about this, the case in Texas, and that it was coming together. And we felt immediately that this was the story we needed to tell. One, because we knew that the plaintiffs were putting their names on the lawsuit, and that they were not afraid to speak out about their inability to access care in the state. And we wanted to make sure that we were following women who had made that decision, and that we weren't putting the pressure on them to share their story publicly. But then we also had heard so many devastating stories. I mean, the devastation was everywhere we looked. And when we met Molly Duane, the lead attorney on this case, it was the first time that we had felt any hope, and that we had felt, okay, there is someone fighting to change these laws.
The film begins by saying, "This film provides an unfiltered look into abortion access and the sensitive subject of child loss. Viewer discretion is advised." And the film opens with just incredibly powerful testimony of Amanda Zarosky. And she was testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. This was a 2022 hearing right after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. In this clip, you will first hear from Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, and then you'll hear from Amanda Zarosky.
Hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. In the years leading up to the Dobbs decision, we were warned about the danger of overruling Roe versus Wade. Tragically, all of these warnings have proven to be true. Our first witness is Amanda Zarosky. Ms. Zarosky has joined us from Texas.
Chairman Durbin, Ranking Member Graham, and members of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. About 8 months ago, I was thrilled to be cruising through the second trimester of my first pregnancy. I was carrying our daughter Willow, who had finally blissfully been conceived after 18 months of grueling fertility treatment. My husband Josh and I were beyond thrilled. Then everything changed. I had dilated prematurely due to a condition known as cervical insufficiency. Soon after, my membranes ruptured, and we were told by multiple doctors that the loss of our daughter was inevitable. My healthcare team was anguished as they explained there was nothing they could do because of Texas's anti-abortion laws. I was locked in this bizarre and avoidable hell. Would Willow's heart stop, or would I deteriorate to the brink of death? The answer arrived 3 long days later. My husband rushed me to the hospital, where we soon learned I was in septic shock. I was rapidly transferred to the ICU, where I would stay for 3 days as medical professionals battled to save my life. What I needed was an abortion, a standard medical procedure. As a result of what happened to me, I may have been robbed of the opportunity to have children in the future. Being pregnant is difficult and complicated enough. We do not need you to make it even more terrifying and, frankly, downright dangerous to create life in this country. This has gone on long enough, and it's time now for you to do your job, your duty, and protect us.
That is a clip from the new documentary, Zarosky v. Texas. That is Amanda Zarosky sharing her tragic story in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And today we're joined by the co-director of the film, Macy Crowe. Macy, what is so powerful about this, in addition, of course, to what Amanda said there and the bravery involved in sharing that testimony, is watching the men on this committee listen to her testimony. I think you all did such an amazing job of showing Amanda, but then cutting over to these mostly men on this committee. And it looked like Republican Senator Lindsey Graham rolled his eyes when she said, "We don't need you to make pregnancy more dangerous."
Yeah, yes, that is correct. And I remember the first time that I watched the testimony in length, being very surprised at the number of men on the committee who were hearing this, and you know, for some of them, how uncomfortable it made them. Lindsey Graham rolled his eyes when she said that, and I remember having to rewind and watch it again. It took me by surprise, and it probably shouldn't have, but I was disappointed in that. You know, I don't think that that's how anyone should behave when they're hearing someone's testimony. And then not too long after that, we were filming Amanda and her husband having dinner at their home. And Amanda said the exact same thing. And when she said that, I remember Abby and I immediately discussing, okay, we really need to think about potentially opening the film with that testimony, because it does such a great job of setting the stage for where we are nationally and in banned states on this issue.
And also, it's just so rare to hear Republicans who support these extreme bans being asked about the consequences. And so I think that's why it was powerful to see these faces, their faces, have to hear Amanda speak about her tragic experience.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you don't see in that film opening, because we wanted to focus on Amanda, and also because there wasn't really a clear coverage of it in the footage, is that Ted Cruz, who is our Texas senator, one of our two Texas senators, gets up and leaves during the hearing. And at one point, Amanda calls him out on that.
Right. Can you talk about what it was like to meet these women? I mean, Amanda says in the film that she just does not say no to any interviews because she wants her story to be out there. And because of Amanda and others like her, so many other people came forward. In the film, we hear voicemails from people who say, I or we have a story to share. It's just so, it's devastating, but so powerful.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Molly and Amanda were both very surprised at how impactful the lawsuit was initially at making other women and couples and families unafraid to use their voices. I think that certainly all of the women that we follow in the film and the other plaintiffs whom we've met have all become very empowered using their voice and seeing this turn into what Dr. Denard says towards the end of the film. Her little whisper has become a lion's roar. And so that's what, you know, the lawsuit started with five plaintiffs, and over the course of a year expanded to 22 plaintiffs because so many women wanted to join this suit.
You mentioned Samantha Cassiano. She was physically ill on the witness stand when she had to relive the moment she found out that her unborn child had a fatal condition that prevented her skull and her brain from fully developing. Samantha was not able to access an abortion in Texas, even though the state's abortion ban allows for medical exemptions. And she was just crying while recounting giving birth to her daughter, who lived for only 4 hours. Here is a clip of Samantha Cassiano in the courtroom in the new documentary, Zorosky v. Texas.
Ms. Cassiano, I'd like to try and pick up where we left off. I'd like to talk about your delivery.
The moment my daughter came out of me, she was grasping for air. That's all I can remember is her just... That's all she could do was and fight and try to get air. And I had to watch my daughter go from being pink to red to purple to being warm to gold. Her eyeballs being regular to her things just popping and they're bleeding. I had to watch my baby suffer.
What did you think about during those 4 hours?
I just kept telling myself and my baby that I'm so sorry that this had to happen to you. I was so sorry that I couldn't help her and release her going to heaven sooner rather than later. I felt so bad. She had no mercy. There was no mercy there for her. And I couldn't do anything.
That is Samantha Cassiano testifying. And that is a clip from the new documentary, Zorosky v. Texas. This is the first time that women testified about their experience in court since Roe was overturned. Is that right?
Yes, that is our understanding. Mm.
You can't even imagine what it's like to... I mean, what's so incredible about these women is not only did Samantha Cassiano tell this story, but she's still telling her story to this day.
She is, and she is.
To relive this over and over again.
She's incredible at sharing her story. And we met Samantha the night before her daughter's funeral. She had, shortly after birth, decided that she was going to put her name on the lawsuit. Originally, she had wanted to remain anonymous. But after having to go through the trauma of birthing her daughter, she wanted to put her name on the lawsuit and wanted to make sure as many people as possible heard her story. And what you didn't hear in this clip, but that happens in the film prior to this, is in the first part of Samantha's testimony, she gets physically ill, just thinking about the pain that her daughter suffered. But again, she is willing and eager to make sure people understand her story, all because, as she says, she does not want other women and families to go through this pain. And I think something that's also incredibly striking in the film, and I remember both Abby and I being very moved by this, her son, who is around 11 years old, when she's packing to go to court, asks his mother, what is the court about? And she explains that it's so that other women and families don't have to go through what she went through. And her son, you know, just like a typical 11-year-old, says, well, I agree with that. I think this is important. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very profound that an 11-year-old could get that.
Mm. What was it like being in that courtroom? What stood out for you based on the reaction from people in the courtroom?
I think the emotion stood out for us. I think what was, you know, challenging, but at the end of the day, an interesting kind of boundary that we had to work within was that the judge required us to put the camera on a tripod and wouldn't allow us to zoom or pan. So we had to make the decision, you know, where we wanted the camera to face. And so we knew that the most important part of this hearing was the plaintiff's testimony. So we positioned the camera to capture that. So what you don't see is people in the courtroom who are also emotional listening to the testimony. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that was surprising for all of us at court that day was the way that the state responded to some of these stories. With many of the women testifying, they asked if Ken Paxton, our attorney general in Texas, had told the women themselves that they could not get an abortion.
Well, and this moment that you captured in the film is so powerful and devastating. Halfway through the film, a judge sides with the plaintiffs, ruling that Texas's abortion ban is too restrictive and violates the state's constitution. But just 5 hours later, Texas AG Ken Paxton appeals the decision to the state Supreme Court. Can you talk about that moment?
Yeah, I mean, that decision came down on a Friday. In the film, you see that we capture it via cell phones with all of the participants in the film that we were following. I remember everybody being very emotional. Samantha's video of that moment was particularly profound because she said she was going to drive to the cemetery to her daughter's gravestone and tell her daughter that she'd be one of the last children in Texas to have to suffer the way that she did. And like you said, 5 hours later on a Friday night, Ken Paxton appealed, which immediately meant that women could not seek abortion and doctors could not provide abortion in medically emergent situations. And at the root of this lawsuit is, you know, they were, the Center for Reproductive Rights and Molly Duane, the attorney, were asking for a very simple thing. They were asking for the law to be clarified because it says that there's medical exceptions, but they won't provide any answers to doctors on what those exceptions are. And then doctors themselves are fearful because the penalties are so high, life in prison, hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. So, you know, there was only about 5 hours where doctors could feel safe providing care in medical emergencies.
And these are women who desperately wanted their children. In some cases, they chose names, they had baby rooms ready. And yet the cruelty is just unimaginable. How do you explain this? We briefly talked about this with Jessica Valenti, who says she thinks it's not an exaggeration to say that the people who create these laws want us dead. They know what their policies have done and will do. How do you explain the cruelty of these bans? Again, they are hearing from women who wanted their children.
I don't know how you explain the cruelty of the bans, because you're right. They are hearing these stories, and they're still inactive in changing the laws, and in fact are digging their heels in when they're given the opportunity to change the laws and make things safer. So I don't know how they can explain themselves. I just don't know what the answer is.
This documentary is just so powerful. Zurawski v. Texas. It's going to premiere at this year's Mill Valley Film Festival. If you're in the Bay Area, you can see it Tuesday, October 8th, Thursday, October 10th. In our remaining minutes, Macy, what are you hoping? I mean, we're, 1 month away from the election. What are you hoping people walk away with in this film? And then given all of the work you've done on abortion, on the ground, seeing this firsthand, I know it's a big question, but we're asking all of our guests, can you just talk about what's at stake in this election?
Sure. I mean, I think both in the national election and in state and local elections, abortion access is at stake. And in Texas in particular, where we don't have a ballot initiative, the Supreme Court seats that are on the ballot are at stake. And those Supreme Court seats are the first way that, you know, voters can potentially change how abortion laws are enforced.
And Republicans are already talking about the possibility of Trump appointing another Supreme Court justice. So right now it's 6-3, it would be 7-2. I mean, this would be a hardline conservative court for generations. I mean, decades to come, especially if they appoint another young person like he's already done.
Which is why I think voting is so important. I think people need to vote for what's in their best interest.
And then final minute, what are you hoping to accomplish with this documentary and just really taking the time to tell these stories?
I'm hoping that people leave with a true understanding of the trauma and the impact of these laws, and that They take that education with them and share it with others. You know, I hope that this documentary gets seen far and wide. We're doing a number of impact screenings in October. We've screened it. We premiered the film in Telluride. We've screened it in Austin. We've hosted a number of impact screenings there. And we're just really hoping to start conversations both within people's own communities and in their own families and on a larger scale.
Macy Crowe is co-director of the new documentary, Zurofsky versus Texas. It exposes the devastation of abortion bans in Republican-controlled states and follows several women in Texas who had medical complications during their pregnancies and sued the state of Texas. You can see the film at this year's Mill Valley Film Festival, Tuesday, October 8th and Thursday, October 10th. Really quick, Macy, for those who can't see it in person, will it be streamed in the near future?
That's our hope.
All right.
Let's go to our website, Zurofsky v. Texas, to keep up with the film and where it'll be.
Okay, great. We really hope that it gets picked up. Macy, thank you so much to you and your team for making this powerful documentary. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. And you can find more information about Zurofsky v. Texas and film times at the Mill Valley Film Festival. It's a great festival, so many incredible films and documentaries. Go to KALW.org, click news, and your call. Thanks to Savannah Harriman-Pote for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.